The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Thus far the words of our text. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, it is very clear that the imagery of the vine and the branches has meant quite a bit to Christians throughout the centuries. I mean, let's look at our two big stained glass windows over here. And for those of you listening on the radio or online and can't see this, let's call it the east window with the sun streaming through it this morning. And here you see Christ, the Good Shepherd, in the middle, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, and a hand reaching out of heaven, symbolizing God the Father. And all around it, it is surrounded with vines, and the vine and the branches showing forth this very text, I am sure. I am the vine, you are the branches. And if we look at the western window over here, the one with the softer colors in it, you see Jesus knocking at the door. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I will eat with him and he with me." It's what that scripture that this window is coming from. And if you'll look, it's not, well, let's call it more stylized versions of branches and vines around that picture. Also, you can see the tall ones coming up and crossing over and branching out, and then over the arch over our Lord's head in the doorway, you see the branches flowing out of the vines there. And so it's something that's been very prominent in Christian art for many, many years. Christian hymnody also reflects the vine and the branches. Our hymnody for today reflects the theology of this particular text, the hymn of the day. And, you know, reading that hymn of the day, having two funerals in basically 5 days, plus a worship service, I was reading through this hymn, and, you know, they're pretty powerful in that context. You know, that hymn of the day, "Jesus is risen and we shall arise." What deep Christian theology is there? Because we rise because he is risen. That's the whole point of Easter. Well, the words of that hymn express motion so thoroughly. But if there's that third stanza and says, "Jesus is the vine, we are the branches, life in the Spirit, fruit of the tree. Heaven to earth, Christ to the people, gift of the future, resurrection, now flowing to me. Jesus is risen and we shall arise. Give God the glory. Alleluia." Last verse when we get to our closing hymn today. The last verse of our closing hymn breathes out this connectedness to Jesus and our dependence on our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in times of physical death, but also in times of spiritual turmoil, which when we're in spiritual turmoil, we know that that can affect both our physical and our mental health. And it can go far as affecting our relationships with each other when we're in that type of spiritual turmoil. And the text of the hymn, that last verse says, "Lord, when we fall or go astray, absolve and lift us up, we pray. And through the sacrament increase our faith till we depart in peace." Now showing that connected to Christ the vine, the nutrients, quote unquote, nutrients that flow to us from him flow to us through his word and through the sacrament of the altar. So as Jesus speaks to the 11 today, and he's sitting in the upper room, it's one of the upper room discourses, he declares the 11 to already be branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. Becoming a branch has little or nothing to do with the branch itself. In the botanical world, it's not the branch and then the stalk and stem and trunk and so forth. What comes forth is the trunk of the tree, the stem of the plant, the vine first and then the branches. And the branches don't have any power in and of themselves. Separated from the stalk, the branch withers and it dies. You see, we don't make ourselves Christians. We are made Christians. It's a good picture of what we are like. We are flowing from the vine. And that's the point that Jesus is making to his disciples in that upper room, and by extension to you, his disciples of our century and our years. We flow out of him. Our faith flows out of him. And our good works flow out of Jesus Christ. So then what is of extreme importance is where the branch is attached. Where does the branch get its nutrients from? And what is God's desire? Well, Jesus tells us what God's desire is. He desires that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. It's God's desire to plant his work and his will in this world. Jesus Christ, he is the planting of the Lord. He is the vine. He is the true Israel, the true Son of God. And all of Israel and all true sons of God flow from Christ. We see that the people of Israel, as we look to the scriptures, the people of Israel, the biological sons and daughters of Father Abraham, could not keep the will and the desires of God. They were incapable. They were constantly chasing after false gods. They were constantly relying on themselves as to keeping the law that God had given them on Mount Sinai. They were unable to do this very thing that God asked. And if they could not do it, they who saw the pillar of smoke and fire, they who saw the glory of God descend upon Mount Sinai, they who had the Ark of the Covenant in their midst, if they could not do it, we must ask the question, well then, who can be saved? And the answer comes back to us, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Because in Jesus we find the true Israel. In Jesus we find the planting of the Lord, the true Son of God. His will is perfectly done in Jesus Christ. And what is his will? It is the salvation of the world and the honor of God's name. This Jesus did and earned on our behalf. And therefore we must understand that our attachment to Jesus of Nazareth is vitally important. And we must realize that it's not something we do. In your baptism, you were made a Christian. You were made a child of God and a branch of the true vine who is Jesus. And here's the critical truth. Apart from Christ, you have no existence. You do not exist independently of yourself in the faith. Remain in me, says Jesus. It's an invitation to remember that we are dependent on the true vine for our very life and our very ability to bear good fruit as Jesus desires and commands that we do. Now right there it is possible where people make this dreadful mistake. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, well, now that we're Christians, we can go it alone. We have this strength or this power inside of us to do what we're supposed to do. Right? Now that I've been made a branch by what Jesus has done, it's all up to me to produce the fruit. And it's impossible. We can't do it. It's true that the Christian life can take a whole lot of effort. And the fruit of obedience to Christ and good works can take everything that we feel that we can give. But the real power to produce good fruit, to produce love, that power does not come from within us. We must stay attached to the vine. Remain in me, Jesus says. remain in me, because there's so much, friends, in Christ. There's so much that would separate us from Jesus. Let me ask the question, what is in the process? Because we're all going through it. We're all having our own personal and private battles. What is in the process of separating you from Christ Jesus? Perhaps it is your own behavior that has made you ashamed to even look at the cross, or make coming to church on a Sunday morning a difficult thing to do. Perhaps you have done or said things that make you feel separated, and you have felt lost, and sometimes you feel that there is no returning for you, that there is no forgiveness for you. So you have shut your soul off to God's call. It may be, perhaps, that you have been wounded by the clergy. I know I have been thoughtless at times, and for that I ask your forgiveness and beg your indulgence. But it's a very difficult thing to know when to be firm and not push people away, or to be gentle and yet not give the impression that everything is just fine and it's all okay, and then falsely confirm an individual in their sinfulness. And add on top of that each person's point in life and their individual personality, and our life together can become not a fruitful vine, but a thorn bush. So right here, right now, as a pastor of this congregation, I'm inviting you and your loved ones who maybe have fallen away back. If you're listening on the radio, or you are been tuning in to the online service, and you say, I used to be a member of Zion. I used to go there. Let's change that used to around. Come back. Now there's 400 and some odd people. I can't track everybody. So please, pick up your own phone. Give a call. Let's have a conversation about this. Maybe you would like to be inside these walls and inside the halls of your Father's house. Will it be hard? Absolutely, it's going to be, because none of us greatly enjoys being pruned by the Lord. If you haven't noticed, being cut, it hurts. And it can hurt pretty bad sometimes. And being pruned by the Lord can have what I think, well, probably two responses, and that's it. The first response can be that of the rich young ruler. Do you remember him? He came to Jesus and asked the silly question, the wrong-headed question, what must I do to be saved? He thought he could earn his salvation. And Jesus said to him, you know the royal law found in scriptures? And the man says, I have kept all the commandments. I haven't broken any of them since I was a child. And yet Jesus said, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. Because what did Jesus understand? The man had a false god. The false god was his wealth. And the man did not listen to Jesus. Instead, when he was pruned, he went away sad because he had that great wealth and did not return to his Savior. On the other hand, there's the Samaritan woman at the well. Do you remember her? Jesus asked her for a drink of water. She says, you don't have anything to draw water with, and the well is deep. And he declares himself to be the living water. And in their conversation, he asks her to go and tell her husband about him. And she says, I don't have a husband. She says, you know what? You're right. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with now isn't your husband. Now, she had the opportunity to run from Jesus at that point, but she didn't. Instead, the scripture tells us that she went away and said to people, come and meet a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? They came out to see Jesus and listen to his words. He stayed in their town 2 days, and many believed because of Christ's words, saying, we have heard for ourselves and know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. Two responses to being pruned. One is to run away, and one is to return and tell. We, each and every one of us, we have sinned. Every single one of us, we have sinned in our lives. And because we are in Christ, and because we are believers in Christ, quite frankly, each and every one of us are ashamed and disgusted by our sins. If we didn't feel shame or disgust, then, well, we'd be close to being dead branches. But the thing is, we can't resolve all on our own to quit sinning. We don't have the power to do it. How do we live together in this life? And how do we come to the glory of eternal life? We need the life-giving nutrients that flow from the vine. How do we produce fruit in this life? We don't do it of ourselves, of course. It comes from Jesus and Jesus' word to you. The word of life, the word of forgiveness, the word of absolution. Repent and believe the good news. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. This power to do this comes not from you, but from Jesus. It comes and flows from His Word, and it comes and flows from His sacraments, the sacrament of the altar, which you will partake of today. For this is power. It's real power to enable you to love as you have been loved. As the hymn writer says, as the branch is to the vine, I am His, and He is mine. Amen. And now may that peace, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.